Hello, and welcome to the Modernizing Your Practice podcast series, brought to you by CPA.com. CPA.com is the technology subsidiary of the AICPA and is tasked with helping bring the profession forward into the digital age through relevant learning opportunities and technology solutions. I am your host, Steve Menges, and I lead the Modernizing Your Practice program at CPA.com. Our goal with this podcast series is to bring relevant and actionable insight around ways that you can modernize your firm in the context of today's most common areas of liability and risk for public accounting firms. With me today is Rebecca Toffolon, JD, from the Accountants Professional Liability Claims Department at CNA. If you're not yet familiar with them, CNA is the underwriter for the liability insurance that many CPA firms rely on to better manage their risks and grow profitability. CNA's extensive experience and history in handling accountants' malpractice matters provides a roadmap of CPA firm liability risk areas on which to focus, and CNA's claim professionals bring unique perspective and expertise in liability risk. Welcome to the podcast, Rebecca.
Thank you, Steve. I'm happy to be here.
Rebecca, tell us a little bit about CNA and what the company does for CPA firms.
Sure. CNA is the market leader in providing accountants professional liability insurance. We insure firms of all sizes and assist them with resolving claims and mitigating potential claims. We also have an active risk control team that helps firms improve their risk management through a number of different educational forums, as well as a hotline that insureds can call with any questions that they have.
Okay. So how long have you been there and what is your role there?
I've been at CNA for 13 years. I've had various capacities handling professional liability claims during that time. My current role, I am the assistant vice president overseeing the accountants malpractice claim team, which consists of 14 claim professionals who are dedicated solely to handling accountants professional liability matters.
Okay. So you're a lawyer and have a master's in negotiation and conflict resolution. So your understanding of liability claims spans all the different ways that claims against CPA firms are ultimately resolved, correct?
That is correct. When I started handling professional liability claims at CNA, it became apparent to me that most matters were resolved through mediation and negotiation instead of through trial. The claims that did resolve through alternative dispute resolution, or ADR, usually resolved earlier and with better results. I wanted to learn more and hone my skill set towards ADR to better serve our insureds. So I went back to school at night and I got a master's degree in negotiation and conflict resolution to round out my legal experience.
Wow, that's great. So what size of firms are you seeing reporting claims?
I guess I should first clarify what we consider an actual claim. We define a claim as a demand for money or services. And while I think everyone anticipates claims against large firms, the bulk of actual claims that we see that were reported to us in 2018 were from mid-size and small firms. One-third of all the actual claims were actually from firms with three or less practitioners.
Those are interesting numbers, especially how many claims or what percentage of claims are coming against smaller firms. What other types of matters does your team assist with?
I think one thing that tends to surprise CPAs, especially at smaller firms, is that the bulk of what is reported to CNA on a yearly basis, at least in recent years, is not actual claims, but potential claims and subpoena assistance matters. Only about 20% of what was reported to us in 2018 were actual claims at the time the matter was reported.
Okay. So I'm guessing it's very helpful for the firm for a firm to let their insurance company know about a potential claim so as to get ahead of it then.
Definitely. The benefit to reporting a potential claim is that we may be able to prevent the claim or mitigate any damages. So Similarly, if a CPA is served with a subpoena for records or testimony, we can provide an attorney to help them respond to make sure that they don't turn over any documents that they shouldn't or say anything that may cause a claim to be made against them in the future.
Right, right. Okay. So just responding to and dealing with claims has to be a resource burden on the firm. So what is the average length of time from a claim filing until it's finally resolved?
The average in 2018 was 14 months to completely resolve and close out a claim. It definitely can be a burden on a firm. You're right, both from a time and resource perspective, as well as from a psychological perspective. It can mentally be draining and stressful, worrying about the outcome, and even to potentially be deposed or go to trial.
Wow, 14 months is the average? Wow, I think that statistic deserves attention and a name. So I'm going to call it the pain period because of all the pain and work disruption at the firm that is dealing with the claim. So I'm going to give it that name. I like that, the pain period. So if the overall average is 14 months, what do the numbers say about audit claims in particular?
Audit claims can definitely have a significantly longer pain period. They usually involve extensive discovery and complex, sometimes multi-party litigation. So it can be several years before an audit claim will resolve.
Okay. So you're saying they can be multiple years long?
I am.
Wow. Clearly then firms need to focus on minimizing liability risk for audit engagements. And that includes using best practices for engagement letters. And it means really understanding privity in third-party audit claims. Other interviews in this Modernizing Your Practice podcast series do cover those two topics. So I encourage folks to check them out at cpa.com/MYP to check out those other podcasts in this series on those two topics.
Those interviews with Stan Sterna and Sarah Ferrance were excellent. I definitely would recommend them.
Great. So what do the payouts look like for the different types of liability claims?
That's a good question. It's hard to provide a general guideline for what payouts look like, as they tend to be very fact specific. Claims from large insureds also tend to skew numbers up drastically. So to give you an idea of average payouts, we looked at small to mid-size claims at CNA that closed from 2007 to 2016. And based on that, the average payouts for a tax claim were $29,000, for a consulting professional liability claim was $60,000, and for an audit professional liability claim was
$138,000. $138,000 average to resolve audit claims. Wow. So audit claims are both the largest and have the longest pain period then.
That's right.
Okay. So we mentioned the importance of engagement letters to reduce liability risk earlier. So I'm curious, is there any link between not having an engagement letter and liability claims?
Well, only 69% of actual claims reported to CNA in 2018 had an engagement letter. A strong engagement letter can probably help avoid a number of claims, especially ones where there just isn't clarity as to the CPA's roles and responsibilities. And then taking it one step further, if a claim does come, it helps with the defense in explaining the scope of the engagement and potentially in limiting damages. So on the flip of that, not having an engagement letter can definitely hurt the defense in the scenarios specifically where there is a dispute as to whether it was the CPA's responsibility to do something. Those scenarios then turn into a sort of he said, she said scenario that can be difficult to defend.
Wow. So if 31% had no engagement letter, then I'll again recommend folks listen to our podcast on engagement letter best practices. Okay. So to finish things off for today, can you share about the why and the who in the claims data for the big money claims that can help firms assess potential risk?
I can give some leading indicators of severity from a review of closed CNA claims in 2017, where we made an indemnity payment of $1 million or more. This data set covers claims from 2008 to 2014. Speaking of that pain period for audit, specifically, what we found most often in these $1 million plus payouts, the fact pattern involved a failure to detect a large embezzlement or a fraud. Another scenario that was common was an audit of a failed or distressed company. And I should mention the 2008 to 2014 time period, that was also included some claims, a good number of claims after the financial crisis. So that audit of failed distressed company was probably pretty relevant in that time frame due to that as well. And the third scenario was a lack of independence, either in fact or just in appearance.
Very interesting. Seeing that lack of independence makes the list. What about the other firm practice areas?
Sure. For non-audit engagements, some of the recurring red flags that we saw were the client was a wealthy client or a celebrity. We also saw engagement creep and over-reliance on the CPA firm. Often those three would go together. And then the fourth pattern we saw was investment advice was given. And just generally speaking, that themes that we see that span across all types of claims is really the size and the severity of the underlying loss, regardless of liability. You know, and if you have a $100 million damage model, even with a 1%, 2% liability, you know, that would still be a pretty large loss. We also saw underlying matters involving fraud or embezzlement, regardless of the type of engagement. Very typically, any sort of a fraudulent scheme, anyone that was involved, any professional involved, gets pointed to that they should have seen it, regardless of really what their role and responsibility was. Another overarching indicator we saw was the client was a financial institution. Again, some of this probably because of the time frame of the claims we're looking, failed banks was a big result coming out of that financial crisis. So that particular financial institution being a client may have a little bit of timing from the claims we were looking at. And the last one that we saw, regardless of the type of engagement, when the CPA firm was alleged to be involved in improper activity, that's was a pretty big red flag and severity driver.
Wow. Okay. So that last one was that the CPA firm was alleged to be involved in improper activity. That's interesting. It's also fascinating that wealthy clients and celebrities being risky as clients makes sense. And again, we see engagement scope creep as an issue for firms to address, including being careful to not be seen as providing investment advice in other engagements. Okay, so Rebecca, any final thoughts for firms before we wrap up this podcast?
I have a couple, Steve. First, I'd urge firms to take note if any of their engagements have any of the potential severity indicators we talked about. If so, I would encourage them to review their processes and procedures around that engagement, as well as you mentioned, to ensure they have a strong engagement letter for that client. My second thought would be to encourage firms to account for and have a plan in place for dealing with a claim, as it's likely one is going to be made at some point, and the better educated and prepared a firm is, the easier the claims process will be for them.
Oh, great. Great. Okay, so I'd like to thank Rebecca Toffolon for joining us today and helping firms as they innovate and digitally transform. So a reminder, the show notes provide links to great additional content from CNA and Aon related to today's topic. So check them out along with cpa.com/MYP. We hope you gleaned some useful, actionable insights from today's podcast. Check out cpa.com for more useful information to help you and your firm win in the digital age. I'm Steve Menges with cpa.com, and I want to thank you all for listening today.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of cpa.com. It is provided with the understanding that CPA.com is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. CPA.com makes no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content and application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.